2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Hello, and welcome to Voices of Reason. I am Jason Lee, and this week, Amy Donaldson is visiting her folks in her native Alaska. Can I say native Alaska to a person who's not really a native Alaska, but she's from there? And so this week, I am joined by the handsome and talented Josh Tilton, who basically is the reason we ever got this show on the air.
That's
because
true.
Years ago when we started, it got better when you came along. So how about that?
I appreciate it.
And today we're going to be talking about something I'm really excited about. It's spoilers. And we have two very erudite people joining us today, as he coughs, right? So joining us today, Professor Richard Green. He is a professor of philosophy at Weber State University, and he has written a book. It's called Spoiler Alert. It's about the philosophy of spoilers. Also joining us is Rachel Robinson Green, his wife and professor of philosophy at Utah State University, which would possibly mean you guys have the most philosophical discussions in all of Utah at every evening at the dinner table.
What one would expect.
Hey, listen, thank you both for joining us. And I'm going to start out, Professor Green, what kind of got you into deciding to write about spoilers in general?
Number of things, right? So just noticing that people were becoming more concerned with spoilers and thinking about how they didn't used to be. But a number of years ago, Rach and I edited a book on the television show Girls, right? So Girls in Philosophy. And so it's a...
Girls. What do I know that name? Is that Lena? Lena Dunham.
Lena Dunham's show. Right. So it's an edited collection. I had to write a chapter for it. So I was thinking about, is it possible to spoil anything from Girls on account of everything that happens on that show just happens over and over, right? Every episode is Lena Dunham wears silly clothes. Lena Dunham says offensive things.
It's the best synopsis I've ever heard of Girls.
I've only seen one episode of the show. I just remember that it was pretty risque, too.
There's a lot going on there, but sort of short on story arcs. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, maybe it's not really possible to spoil this. There's nothing you could say in advance if you saw it before somebody else, or very few things. So that got me thinking about spoilers. And just over time, I noticed, you know, our society's preoccupation with spoilers was increasing. And so that got me sort of wondering about, you know, all the various rules pertaining to spoilers. Mm-hmm. And so forth.
It's now sort of an all-time high with shows like Game of Thrones and Endgame and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, that was a crazy couple weeks, right, with Endgame coming out with the final episode of Game of Thrones airing, and people were all over the internet admonishing folks, don't spoil whatever you do, or, you know, if you spoil this for me, I'll kill you.
So, Rachel, look, I mean, I want to dive into this really heavy, but I need to kind of set something up a little bit. So, when he first starts telling you he wants to do this, what are your thoughts about how this is going to be written and how it's going to be perceived by people who actually read it?
Well, I think I was always a believer that it would be a lot of fun, and Richard does a good job with everything he does. So, and it does seem like there's some I didn't know quite how many philosophical topics would come up, right? Right out of the gate, I'm thinking ethics. Right. It would be the primary question. But there's actually plenty more to say about spoilers than just the ethics of spoiling.
Yeah, I didn't know either. Right. When I first proposed the book, I called the publisher and said I'd like to do just a really short book on spoilers, and I was, you know, thinking, you know, 50 or 60 pages, just, mm-hmm. You know, small. And the publisher said, no, I don't want to do anything that's that small. Is there more? And so I started digging in, and there were just tons of issues, and I ended up having to sort of limit what I could say in the book.
I mean, one thing you had to do is just even define a spoiler, because there's lots of disagreement about what a spoiler even is.
Okay, let's define spoiler.
So, yeah, I mean, the common sense notion that people have, I think, is just telling somebody something, you know, about a plot point or, you know, something like that in a show or a movie or a book. But it turns out lots of those things, people, when they think about it, don't think of them as spoilers, right? So if I say there's a new Star Trek movie coming out and guess what? It's going to have a Vulcan in it, right? That wouldn't count as a spoiler on account of
We all know that.
Yeah, it's expected. So it turns out that, you know, on the definition I settle on, you know, spoilers don't just pertain to works of fiction. You can spoil sports. For example, if someone says, I TiVo'd a ball game. And
don't tell me about it. I have a great story about that, by the way.
Yeah. I'd love to hear it in a moment. So, you know, spoilers are the reveals of information that's potentially shocking or significant, right? Not just the mundane, there's a Vulcan involved. About a work of fiction, given a certain timeline, right? That spoilers have a shelf life. So, you know, if I tell you that, you know, on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, I watched an episode the other night and Sue Ann hooked up with Chuckles the Clown, right? That wouldn't constitute
would be
a spoiler because
I have no idea what any of that just
okay,
was.
Okay, well, it was a great show back in the 70s. I know it's before your time. However, had that happened, the whole TV world would have turned upside down. That would have been great.
Yeah, Sue Ann hooked up with everybody but Chuckles.
But Chuckles the Clown. Chuckles the Clown was somebody you always heard about but never saw.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he dies, actually. There's a whole show about him doing it. It's very, right. It was very good.
This is fascinating.
It was a great bit.
Now, I could say spoiler alert. You just told him that Chuckles died. But
yeah,
the spoiler shelf
alert.
Life has well, expired on the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Just
so you legit.
Know, Rosebud was a sled. I'm just throwing that out there.
Can we talk about Rosebud?
We sure
this
could.
Is so fascinating. I would have never expected any of this to come up in spoilers talk.
Let's talk about Rosebud.
I've got a take in the book on Rosebud.
Because Rosebud is one of the classic, what you would call spoilers or potential spoilers if you don't already know about it.
That's right. Except in the book, I argue that it's not a legitimate spoiler.
Really?
Yeah. And it's the paradigm case, right? If you know, we give talks and lectures at Comic-Cons.
Oh, we got to say what Rosebud is.
Oh, yeah. So in Citizen Kane.
Citizen Kane, it is a seminal cinematic movie. And this is not hyperbole. It is where I took a class called Introduction to Film in college. I know. Ridiculous class. 8 o'clock in the morning, no less. One of the films we watched was Citizen Kane. Citizen Kane made back in, 1930s? Ooh, God, 39, I believe. It was made the same year as Stagecoach,
which is another
very old movie. John Wayne's first film. But Orson Welles created what is even today considered one of the greatest pieces of cinema ever. Because he showed you how to make a movie in a way that had never been done before. And even if you didn't love the movie, and it was a pretty good movie, it showed people from decades on how to make movies in a way that were visually more beautiful and more just fun to watch. And so that's kind of why it was such a big deal.
Yeah. So Citizen Kane is essentially William Randolph Hearst, right?
He was a newspaper mogul.
Yeah, the wealthiest man in the country at a time. And so in the beginning of the movie, he dies and he's holding the snow globe and he drops it and he says, Rosebud, kind of like that. And it's his dying words.
Mm-hmm.
And so the newspaper reporter that's doing the story on his life decides to figure out what Rosebud is. And that's the whole story is going back in time and telling his life up to that moment.
Wow.
So they could better understand it.
Right.
So this is thought by many to be the paradigm spoiler, right? Whenever we lecture, people say, yeah, Citizen Kane, you know, Rosebud was his childhood sled.
His childhood sled.
So
he became famous and rich.
He was the most powerful man in the world, but his greatest source of joy was this lousy sled that had Rosebud written on it.
See, now I want to go back and see it, but now I've got a completely different context.
Right? And it's a great movie because you realize, I mean, well, a whole bunch of stuff. I don't want to get down that rabbit hole, but I'll let you continue. I'm sorry, Doctor.
Okay, so the line that I take in the book is that that it's rosebud is not significant enough, right? It's nothing more than a MacGuffin, right? If you know what that is, mm-hmm. it's a term Hitchcock coined about something that just moves the plot along. So I argue that if they had showed him dying in the beginning saying rosebud and the reporter said, wow, this guy, you know, his happiest moment was with his sled. Let's look at his whole life. The movie would be equally as good, right? Mm-hmm. You're not losing out on any part of the experience. Whereas, you know, if, for example, you had seen the original Planet of the Apes knowing that it was Earth the whole time, you would lose that great moment. There's no great rosebud moment.
This is something that actually happens quite often where they reveal some important feature of the story early on, right? So think about episodes of Breaking Bad or something where they start with the end of the season and then they
point.
Sort of tell the story. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, as you come back, right.
Right.
Better Call Saul started out that way,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Yeah, and they're still doing that. So yeah. One of my favorites. Yeah.
So we're going to continue with the discussion on spoilers, and I want to get Josh in here because, again, we've just kind of given him a bunch of new information about some stuff, but luckily he's intellectually curious enough to want to go see some of this stuff. And I'm hoping some of the listeners will talk about some things that may be a little older in some cases. However, they're still significant today, and if you're willing to, you know, take a little journey down a cinematic rabbit hole, you might learn some stuff and it'll be very interesting. You're listening to Voices of Reason. Welcome back to Voices of Reason. I am Jason Lee. Amy Donaldson is out this week, so Josh Tilton is joining me today as my co-host. And today we're speaking with a couple. An author and his wife, who's also both philosophy professors. Richard Green has written a book. It's called Spoilers. It's about the philosophy of spoilers. And his wife, Rachel Robinson Green, has Utah State University professor. And what we're talking about is, A, what is a spoiler? We're going to talk about spoiler horror stories in a second. But I wanted to start out by asking Josh, so for you, where do spoilers fall in for you? I don't have spoilers. You could tell me the end of the game. You could tell me what the movie's about. Because I'm still going to go and watch and get my own experience from it rather than caring about the fact that I'm going to know what's going to happen at some certain point in the film.
It's a majority of the movies that have come out recently that have gigantic plot points that you've followed. So when it comes to Star Wars, super spoiler heavy. I don't know how many spoilers we want to go into, but The Last Jedi with Han Solo. Like, there's so many movies now that are ingrained in our culture that we follow for so long, and there's so many different franchises now that specifically with, like, Endgame and Avengers, we've spent a decade and a half coming all this way. Don't tell me how it ends. I'll figure it out eventually, even if I have to shut off social media. Because with the integration of social media, it's completely different.
So why do you care? Like, to me, why does it spoil it for you knowing something about it before you see it?
I don't know. From a psychological level, I have no idea. I'm just so passionate about content now, and I don't know if it's – I'm sure people were passionate about content in earlier ages as well, in earlier decades. It's fine. But it now, like, especially with Game of Thrones, if I think back to it, like, the season's over – and I've read the books, but I've also spent more time researching this time in this era and all of these plot points that George R. R. Martin built on YouTube. It's like I've watched the season or the show three times over. So I'm incredibly passionate about the content, and I just don't want to know what happens. Even when I first started watching Game of Thrones, the first couple of books I hadn't read. I was behind, and Joffrey's death in season 3 I read it on IMDb on accident, and I was crushed. I'm like, this is the worst day I've had in a very long time.
You're supposed to be happy about that one.
Well, that's the thing, and I love horrible characters, so I was like, dang it. Like, I love hate him so much. And I don't know why, and it's literally the first time I can remember having something spoiled was Sixth Sense with Bruce Willis.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
And when you watch the movie, it's so beautiful, but when you watch it and you already know, like, it just gives it another context. I wasn't angry then, but as I've gotten older and more passionate about the content that I take in, I don't know why I can't help it. I just...
I, Can I say a little bit about
Of course.
Maybe offer a hypothesis. So there's some interesting social science research that came out of University of California, San Diego, I believe, a few years back, where they had people read stories, short stories, and spoiled them in some cases and not in others, and a big study, lots of subjects. And it turns out that people actually enjoyed the shows – or sorry, the short stories mm-hmm. more when they had the information in advance, because they could tend to the plot points and sort of see the buildup to things and maybe better understand why certain things are happening and so forth. So the conclusion of that was that spoilers don't actually spoil. So in response to that, a number of us have argued that that's great if you're detached. But you're describing the exact opposite scenario. It's you're not an undetached viewer of Game of Thrones or Endgame mm-hmm. or some such. You're emotionally invested. And mm-hmm. part of the emotional investment is in what happens, you know, with the story. But another part of that emotional investment is getting the information on your own terms, right? You want to watch Game of Thrones in your comfiest viewing spot.
Yeah, by myself.
When you're
Don't tell me about it. I'll handle it on my own. I want to experience it by myself. I don't need anyone else to tell me how to experience this. I want it to be mine and mine only.
Exactly.
So if somebody tells you the end, that somehow dictates how you then experience that event?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely, for sure.
Okay. You're deprived of a certain experience that you wouldn't have otherwise that you've maybe geared up for, right?
Yep.
You might have spend all week thinking about Friday night I'm going
Richard,
to watch
I need
this,
to get you that's, closer to the,
this thing that I TiVo'd.
That's literally every episode of Game of Thrones last season.
Yeah, we mm-hmm. were the same way. We'd record them to watch them at the perfect moment after our son, who likes to come in every 5 minutes.
Oh, I couldn't.
He's 13 years old. You don't want him watching Game of Thrones.
Yeah, no, we really don't. And he wants to watch it, too. So
Dr. Robinson Green,
yeah.
Rachel, I your thoughts on spoilers personally, just yourself. So, I mean, are you one of those people like Josh, you just, I don't want to know anything?
I'm kind of middle of the road. I think for me...
The horror.
For me, I'm kind of, I get more concerned about my son hearing spoilers. And here's why. There are some storylines that I just enjoyed so much. And for me, the biggest one, it was Harry Potter. So we read the books out loud to our son.
Okay.
Yeah, I worked all the way through the series.
That's a lot of reading. Those books are huge, man.
Yeah. It
took a good while.
Yeah.
So
Tell the horror story.
Yeah, so there are certain plot points that I was just so excited for him to have the experience, right? Because they're, you know, big surprises and very, you know... You get very emotionally invested.
Yeah, super meaningful.
And he went over to someone's house, and they showed him the movie of a book we hadn't read yet. And I was just furious. I've never been furious in my own case, but I was. And it's when a major character dies, right? So I was pretty upset about that.
Yeah.
I don't know that he was upset about it, but I was upset for him.
No, yeah. But help me out with why you were upset. Like, I don't get this. You know?
Okay, you know, it might be for me the fact that it was a movie shown, because I think that the books just do such a beautiful job. I kind of wanted him to have the experience through the literature, but instead he had this particular plot development revealed through a movie, which I didn't think were as well done as the
right. Yeah, those moments when we were reading the book where certain things happened were huge, and we'd be all looking at each other going, oh my gosh, uh-huh. and you know, it was fun. I'm going to out you here. So Rachel...
Oh, this is a type of spoiler.
Yeah, Rachel had read the Harry Potter series before we all read it together. And when certain characters die... She would start crying about three pages in advance.
So everybody would know that something was about to happen.
That is fabulous. That is fabulous. See, as a person who I don't have, like, the spoiler doesn't bother me. I have a friend of mine, speaking of spoilers, and we only got a little bit in this segment to go. He is a huge sports fan. And when I say huge sports fan, he literally has won a contest to be named America's greatest sports nut.
Wow.
This is not a joke. He dressed his dog up with a jersey. He lives in Park City. Well, he lives in Wasatch County now, I guess, in Camas. But he lived in Park City at the time. He has season Jets tickets. He's from New York for the New York Jets. And he still goes back to many games, by the way. I've been with him. I've actually seen this happen. And he is a diehard Mets fan, which means he dies hard most every night of every baseball
yeah,
season.
That's rough.
He's Jewish. I have always said he just loves pain, so he just wants to keep feeling this, and that's why he keeps enamored adornment with the Mets and the Jets. So anyway, he records baseball games every night. Does not want to know the score. I'm like, dude, there's 162 games. If you, for whatever time you're going to be watching, what difference does it make? He is adamant about not knowing the final score one way or the other.
Is he just do it for fun, or is this his job?
No, like... no, it's not a job. He's a doctor. He got a real job, you know. So this is just his investment, as you just described, right?
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, he's older than me, so we're in our 50s. This is not something, you know, he's come across lightly. This is something he's built up over, you know,
years.
Decades, right? And he loves the idea of not knowing and kind of watching it organically, like you just described, so that he gets the experience, whatever it is. To me, I found out I get alerts on my phone, and the White Sox, my team, they have this young rookie who's 22 years old, and the other day he hit a 462-foot home run, the first one he hit in Chicago. I'm loving that. So I go find the video later. I don't care. I just want to see it actually happen, because then I know what's going on. You know, it to me, the experience is still being able to watch it. The fact that I knew beforehand doesn't really sway it one way or the other.
Can you enjoy the game if you know how it comes out?
Absolutely.
Boy, I can't. I'm a big sports fan too, mm-hmm. so I used to record on the DVR mm-hmm. Football games.
Sure.
And if they would be spoiled for me, I'd try to avoid hearing the news and whatnot. I'd start by watching, and then I think, well, I'm going to fast forward mm-hmm. between the plays and just see the plays. And then about halfway through, it's like, I can't do this. It just ruins the experience.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate. For me, I feel like I'm good for that, because it never stops me from enjoying it. And in fact, I'm one of those people who, even though I know how it's going to come, I watch the same things because I remember how they made me feel, right?
Yeah.
So even
yeah.
when I got to see that, I like to experience that over and over again. So even though I know the outcome, I loved Ken Griffey as a baseball player. He's probably my favorite player ever. I've watched highlights of his career when I got nothing but time on my hands, I don't know, dozens of times. Because
yeah.
I never get tired of watching him swing a baseball and how I felt. Hit a baseball, and how I felt when I watched him, over those 20 years, now that he's not playing anymore.
Yeah.
Because that was the joy for me, not the, knowing what happened one way or the other.
Yeah, right. I can do that. So I can watch, Willie Mays highlights mm-hmm. or some such.
Yeah.
He was my favorite player as a kid. Got to see him play. It's great. Candlestick.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Fucking.
Can you imagine how many home runs he hits if he doesn't play in Candlestick? But that's another story.
Yeah. But highlights are great.
Yeah.
But I can't sit and watch an entire game where I know the result.
Interesting. Okay.
Like, game six is tonight. And, like, what if the Raptors beat the Warriors?
I want them to win. And I don't have to watch it one way or the other. I will, when it whatever happens, I'll watch it either way.
Scale of 1 to 10, your investment level, though. Like, imagine if you were a Toronto Raptors
right, no,
fan.
Right. If it was my team, I'd be more emotionally invested. But I still... It wouldn't stop me from watching it. It wouldn't. I wouldn't care. I would. I'd know the outcome, but I'd still watch it. I'd still watch it.
If I saw an alert on my phone that said the Toronto Raptors beat the Golden State Warriors 92-91 in like double overtime or something, and it was spoiled, and it was the greatest game the Toronto Raptors are ever going to play, and they win a championship, and someone told me that, I would. I'd like go have to like sign into a mental institution.
Well, so my buddy, when I was hospitalized recently after my heart attack, my friend tells me to because I started watching what I realized then was a rebroadcast of the Toronto game with Game 7 with Philadelphia.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So you're going to love the ending, is all he said, because I hadn't watched it. And so I watched to the very end, and it was pretty cool. But it didn't stop me from watching it. I guess he could have spoiled it for me, but he kind of did already because he told me something bizarre was going to happen. And
I'd inherently check out until the fourth quarter, about 3 minutes left.
No, I watched the whole darn thing. All right, listen, when we come back, we're going to do some more about spoilers. I've gone over really long on both of my segments here, so the editors are going to love me this week. You're listening to Voices of Reason. We are back with Voices of Reason. I am Jason Lee. Today being assisted by our producer is Josh Tilton with KSLNewsRadio.com. And we're talking about spoilers with a professor, a philosophy professor, Richard Green. He has written a book. It's called Spoiler. It's about the philosophy regarding spoilers. And his wife today is joining us also. She's a Utah State University professor of philosophy. Her name is Rachel Robison Green. That's Robison with no N.
One end, right at the end.
Well, no, at the end, yes. But not Robinson, Robison. Yeah, and so Josh had a question for Richard about his kind of when he was writing the book.
Yeah, I mean, and we haven't read the book yet. Well, I haven't. I don't know if Jason has. But I just wanted to kind of pick your brain a little bit and see the part of the book you're most proud of. Like, what's your biggest selling point when you're trying to pitch the book?
So, you know, spoilers, I think, are philosophically interesting in a variety of ways.
You gotta stay at the mic there.
The book, you know, talks about sort of different aspects of that. So I've got, you know, several chapters on the ethics of spoiling, and I think that comes off quite well. Several chapters on the metaphysics of spoiling. But then there's some things that are sort of just interesting. So I've got a chapter that deals with paradoxes. One interesting paradox pertaining to spoiling is if spoilers are really so bad, why is it that, you know, somebody like me or Rachel will watch a movie like Murder on the Orient Express, the 74 version, maybe 30 or 40 times, right? I mean, it all hinges on a surprise ending, and yet we'll watch it over. So I was sort of proud of how that came out. And then the part that's getting the most attention, I have three appendices. So appendix one is the 30 greatest spoilers of all time. I'll spoil the appendix, top of the list.
Talk about a rabbit hole there, right?
top of the list is from Psycho.
Okay.
Right? I won't reveal the spoiler. Yeah. The next one's from Planet of the Apes. There's something about Darth Vader that almost no one knows about, I'm sure.
By the way, I still haven't seen Star Wars. And but I do know the Darth Vader thing. I'm hanging out there.
Yeah. Oh my gosh!
And then the second appendix is people told their spoiler horror stories. We did in the last segment. Rachel's telling us what's going to happen in Harry Potter by
crying.
Well,
inadvertently, that's right.
And then the last one is the 100 greatest philosophical spoilers. So I've boiled down, you know, 100 top philosophers throughout history to one-liners.
Okay.
Right? So,
wow.
And that kind of went viral on the internet.
I've had some good attention there. So, you know, I've got Camus, and it says it's absurd to try to reduce Camus' work to a single sentence.
It would be, right?
Yeah. Let's see. Jeremy Bentham, right, the famous utilitarianist. Spread a little sunshine. Rousseau, who famously believed children should not be educated, so his is Every Child Left Behind.
And those are
kind of fun.
So that's awesome.
I like the way they turned out as well.
The greatest 30 spoilers is, from a millennial perspective, is social media gold.
What do you think some of the greatest spoilers are? I'll tell you if they're on the list.
Oh, I bet you it's Usual Suspects is up there. Definitely Darth Vader. I bet Fight Club is up there.
Fight Club's number 10.
Never seen that one either.
Sixth Sense is probably maybe up there.
Sixth Sense is in the top 30, yeah.
Game of Thrones, possibly. Ned Stark's death.
Yeah, nope, nothing from Game of Thrones.
It's definitely not a classic one, but people who are Game of Thrones fans.
If I were writing this today, I would think the ending of Game of Thrones.
Gosh, that's a good point.
Without giving too many away, what are some of the ones you consider?
That I consider to be
The top 30. I mean, what did you? Because I'm trying to think to myself, like, what other than, I'm old, right? So I'm thinking Citizen Kane is the first one that comes up to me, and then the only other one I would have thought of was Darth Vader.
Not the famous spoil from Psycho. It's the spoiler that got it all going.
Yeah,
right? So Hitchcock,
I guess there is that.
Starts telling people don't spoil this.
Don't spoil the ending,
movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, you've got that. Yeah. You've got one from Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, the murder of Roger Ackroyd. There's a famous episode of The Twilight Zone, something about a cookbook.
It's a cookbook.
It's a cookbook.
Yeah.
Soylent, I can't believe I forgot that.
Soylent Green. I've got one from Infinity War, Les Diaboliques, Saw, Casablanca's got a good spoiler.
Oh, Casablanca,
there's so many.
Shutter Island, The Village, The Wicker Man, Primal Fear, final scene of Night of the Living Dead. There's a really good one from Twin Peaks, Who Killed Laura Palmer.
Spoiler, what is it? Now that you said that, it's J.R. Who shot J.R.?
Yeah, that's
got to be a top spoiler, right?
It didn't make the top 30, but it is a top spoiler.
I know, again, I'm old, but that was, at the time, 30 years ago plus, it was enormous.
Yeah, I can answer why it doesn't make the list.
Please.
It was a cliffhanger, and it was huge, but no one knew it, right? It wasn't a spoiler that could be revealed until the first season aired the next year, and then everybody knew it because people watched network TV as it aired, right? I mean, there were eight people in the country that knew how to program a
DVR.
Can you tell me what this one is? I don't know.
Yeah, so in the television show Dallas, at the end of
Larry Hagman, who was Genie's, he was Major Nelson, if you've ever seen that show.
Yeah,
he's daring. So he gets shot, and then you spend the whole summer wondering who shot JR. And they did a parody of it on The Simpsons, the Who Shot Monty Burns.
I was going to say, I know that.
Yeah, that was an homage of sorts.
To that movie. And at the time, Rachel, it was as big a show as, you know, Breaking Bad was. You know, it was one of the top three shows in America. So literally everybody watched it. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I only watched that show on occasion, but I knew about that.
Yeah.
And so it just captured everyone's imagination. I'm going to try to stay on time here right now. But when we come back, I mean, you mentioned what I find great about spoilers is just how we have this, even in this room, this variety of senses of what they mean to you and how you can kind of deal with them in your life. I was wondering if you, each of us, I mean, you kind of gave one away. If you can come up with one story, either where you spoiled something or somebody spoils something for you. And so we'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Voices of Reason. We are back with Voices of Reason. I am Jason Lee, and I'm joined today by my fill-in co-host is Josh Tilton. Amy is out this week, and we're speaking about spoilers. In particular, we're speaking with Richard Green. He is the author of a book, and he's also a philosophy professor at my alma mater, Weber State University. And the book is called Spoiler Alert. It's a book about the philosophy of spoilers. Also joining us is Rachel Robinson Green, and she's a professor of philosophy at Utah State University, and they are spouses. So they get to talk about this kind of stuff all the time. But since we try not to go down a rabbit hole, and I'm trying to keep somewhat on some time, I would like to ask everybody to kind of give a spoiler story of their own, whether they either spoiled something for somebody or they got something spoiled for them that is particularly memorable. So I'm going to start with you, Professor Green.
Okay, so since confession is good for the soul, I will confess that a time that I revealed the spoiler to Rach. So the film Clueless, right, Amy Heckerling film, is based on Jane Austen's book, Emma, right? So Rach starts reading Emma, and I say, oh, you know, that's Clueless, right? And she'd seen Clueless. So she said, spoiler alert, you know, and I now know all the plots. And I'm like, no, really, you know, as if she didn't believe me. And I start telling her which characters in the book correspond.
So I know what's going to happen, because, of course, I've seen Clueless a million times.
Everybody, yeah. Yeah.
Other than the person over here, because I've never seen it.
So shame on me. And I'll just say, you know, if I can boil this book down to one sort of single point, it's don't be a jerk, right? And clearly in that instance, I was all over that. So,
but sometimes you're inevitably a jerk, though, right?
Yeah.
Be careful about that.
Yeah, but we're extra careful about it. I feel like we're overly careful about spoilers, unless you're like really a jerk. You're so, out to ruin things for you.
Josh, what's your spoiler story?
I really don't have one because I take so – there's so much caution inherently just in my mind where I want to prepare myself for the greatest experience possible. Like I turn off social media when the week before Avengers came out. Like I went a long way. I mean, there are some spoilers. Like I do watch quite a bit of movies, but some of the older ones I just – I can never get caught up, so sometimes I'll go back and watch some of the classics. But on YouTube all the time, I'll watch like the greatest 10 greatest movie endings, mostly because I like to re-experience that, like you were talking about earlier. And sometimes I'll see those, like the others I've seen, I've had the ending spoiled for me. It does give me a better appreciation. The context, it's a little bit, it's just a different movie. And I would never spoil anything for anyone. I get no enjoyment out of that. I want people to experience their own thing.
Again, I've been an inadvertent spoiler and talking about my friend who is the crazy sports fan. Because to me, once it's been out in the, you know, once it's happened and enough people know about it, I'm like, I don't know how in this day and age of information that you've not gotten it.
It's true.
So I will start talking about it and I don't think about who I'm standing around. I mean, I'm just talking about it. And I've done that by telling him the ending of a game. And actually, as it turns out, it was a World Series game.
Oh, my gosh.
So that probably didn't go over particularly well. However, it wasn't my purpose to try to spoil it for him. First of all, I didn't know, as I do now, the degree to which he is really against the idea of knowing information before it's before he finds out on his own. So I don't want to be a jerk, right, Dr. Green? But sometimes you just get in the heat of the moment and you're just talking about something that you thought everybody's already seen, or at least the vast majority of people have.
Yeah,
and so the fact that one or two people aren't in on it, I don't know, that's just got to happen.
Yeah.
So, Rachel, what's your spoiler story?
Okay, I've got two. One is a non-spoiler story, but I thought it was a spoiler. So this is before I watched Twin Peaks, and we're sitting around with some of our friends, and one of our friends mentioned the question is, who killed Laura Palmer?
David Milch, TV show, right?
David Lynch.
David Lynch.
Yeah. So she says Bob. And if you've seen Twin Peaks, you know that ultimately is not a spoiler at all because of the amorphous nature of Bob, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought it had been spoiled for me. Like, oh, man, now I know who did it. and then the other one, this is pretty common. So it's important to do things like turn off social media if you don't want to see spoilers.
Yeah.
We have a couple of friends, one in particular, but a couple of friends who routinely – some people are just like stream of consciousness on social media, right? They just post whatever they're feeling. And we have one friend that was particularly invested in The Walking Dead. And so anytime any character ever died, there's a RIP and a picture of the character.
Oh,
and yeah. So I had just about every major death on The Walking Dead spoiled.
Spoiled for you already.
Yes. I mean,
you ever got that.
Eventually I lost interest in The Walking Dead, to be honest. But
as did a lot of people.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So then, so we eventually maybe unfollowed this person for the duration of The Walking Dead.
She was in the Eastern time zone, right? So before things were even airing.
Yeah.
So one more quick spoiler story. Do we have time? So this is gladly was not a spoiler, but it's my favorite spoiler story. So our son, Henry, when he was six, we're going to Europe. And we're on a plane to France. And the flight attendants come out and start doing their safety thing. And, you know, and he's kind of a scary looking little kid. And so he starts shouting, spoiler alert. And it's literally freaking people out. They're thinking, you know, what does this guy know that we don't? Right?
Yeah.
So we're sitting in the case of an emergency. And there were a handful of people on the flight that were seriously panicked for, you know, maybe 90 minutes. Just make that kid stop.
Spoiler.
Thought he was jinxing something.
Oh, wow. That's
He was just being funny. I don't think he knew what spoiler alert was. It was just this flight attendant talks and he yells, spoiler alert.
In the case of a crash, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Don't do that. Yeah, right.
That's funny.
Well, listen, where can you find the book?
Everywhere fine books are sold.
Yep,
so I'm doing a reading at Barnes & Noble on the 22nd in Layton.
Okay. 22nd of June.
At noon. It's at Amazon, .com, Walmart.com. Target's got it. All the bookstores have it.
Well, I'm going to tell you, as we have done, going over time, reading this book will probably lead you down a number of rabbit holes, which will be exceptionally entertaining and probably a whole lot of fun. I thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us. This was great.
You know, I don't know. Some days I love this job even more. This was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that one. So join us again for the next episode of the Loudmouth Project's Voices of Reason. If you have any comments about our show, please contact us via email at voramed@gmail.com or at VORJasonL@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter at ADOnSports and at JasonLee1. Our show's Twitter handle is at @VORPodcast. Check out our Facebook page, and you can also find and subscribe to episodes of our podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or other places where you find interesting content. Be sure to review our show as well. We love to get your feedback, and it helps us grow our audience. Until next time, I'm Jason Lee. When you engage in passionate debate, do your best to keep your dialogue civil. Try to be the voice of reason.
Voices of Reason is a production of the Loudmouth Project.